Laura Benedict has been working at the Red Barn Restaurant in Augusta for decades. Over the years, she's gathered many stories from many people all across Maine who have joined her at the Red Barn. The time we have assigned for Voices of Giving doesn't let us share as much as we wanted to from Laura, so we assembled some of the stories she told us for this web extra. It might not be the most well-polished radio piece, but we knew, regardless of that, in this week of Thanksgiving, we wanted to share these stories with you, our MPBN listeners. We hope you enjoy these stories that Laura shared with us. Share your stories of giving with us at mpbn.net. Happy Thanksgiving.
Guy comes in, it's pitch black in the dining room, 7:30 in the morning, wants to use the bathroom. I said, I got a cup of coffee for you. He said, I was told to come here. I said, by whom? He said, I live in Pensacola. This is Saturday morning. I was told to come here. I just was, my car drove here. I'm like, you look us up on TripAdvisor or something? He said, nope. I'm like, this is what's happening. You get these great, great, great stories. And my brother, my muse, 2 years older than me, he said, Laura, go out and get some stories for us. And I put them in my head. And I don't forget. And I live through them. And that's what everybody really wants, isn't it? Just to be remembered. Just to be validated. Just to be heard. There are some stories like you wouldn't believe. I wouldn't know if I were too busy for 35 years, remember? Doing everything the wrong way. Sitting there thinking I was so busy, I was doing the checkbook that couldn't balance, getting behind with the IRS, I should have known better. I was just doing the same thing, making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Now, I go walking out and I go, this guy, like a moth to a flame, I looked up, this doesn't make sense to me. I go walk in, he's sitting down in his same booth, apparently, I didn't know he's a regular, right? So I said, I look at his hat, it says, honest to God, World War II, Vietnam, Korea. Most decorated hat I've ever seen. And I'm doing the math in my head. He was real young when he started and real old when he left. There's no way that works. So I got to find out how this happened. Proudest man I ever did see. And he sits down across from his wife. He says, his bride of 73 years. And they're having a bowl of seafood stew. And I said, could I just ask you a question? How did that work for you? Greatest generation ever born. And he starts to speak because I knew better. I don't want to interrupt anybody, right? I'm very kind. And he couldn't wait to tell me his story about the greatest generation ever born. And his wife was looking, her eyes were dancing like it's the first time she's heard this story he's told a million times. Now that's enduring love. She says, you think that's enduring love? Putting up with this guy, that's enduring love. We joked, we laughed, right? He's a ladies' man. So I sit right back down. He doesn't know what a picture is. He doesn't know what these new phones are. It's fine. It doesn't matter anyway. So she pulls out from her left pocket the thing he wrote to her, honey, I'm coming home, like Morse code dot dash and all this stuff. Stop. I'm not kidding. All weathered with yellow. And she waited for him under the Golden Gate Bridge. And she waited for him to come home. And they've been married for over 73 years. And I thought, this is the greatest generation. I'm sitting right here with the proudest man, the most heroic man, and the most, all of the goodness of America right here. I said, I got to get up, right? I didn't see the slips for 3 hours. My eyes kept getting blurry. It was awesome. Those are the stories. What if I hadn't done that? What if I'd have been that girl stuck in the back, flipping a burger, too busy to do anything, sulking about how things weren't working out? What if I were more like this girl? What if I were like that? And I decided, it works. See, I'm pretty good till I figure out what works. Then I'm great. And that's the best part, because everybody needs to know when something works. Everybody needs to know that, you know what? I doubt he knows what he did for me. I know what I did for him. I got him 2 bowls of seafood stew, and I listened to his stories. What he did for me is something I'll never forget. I haven't seen him in a while. I can only imagine. And those are stories, and I just go on and on. And one woman says, and this is where I'm going to get a little emotional, one woman is smiling. It was a busy Saturday, and we were sharing a table of 4. 2 people, oh, yes, you can sit right with me. She's eating a cup of stew. So she's smiling. Her son's coming in, and I looked at her. And I said, you look happy. She said, I am so happy. And she just went like this. And she's smiling while she's chewing. That's unusual. So I'm watching the sun on her face. And I said, I just love that you're so happy. She said, I'm having my husband's favorite meal. And I said, I'm looking. The bathroom's not occupied. She said, he always came here when he went to Togas. He died 2 hours ago. I'm having his favorite meal. I'm like, what do you say to that? I said, I'm so sorry. He's no longer suffering. Don't be sorry, dear. It's the happiest day of my life. I went back to not seeing the slips for another 3 hours, you know? It's remarkable. It's really, really remarkable. Those are the stories. And I think that that's why people come. Because we listen. Because you're not just, I don't know how that works. We do 4,000 meals a day, but nobody feels rushed. I go around and I talk to people and stuff, again, unobtrusively. So this lady comes in and she's behind her friend, older ladies. And she said, you got it, you got it, you got it. And the lady has a walker. You can do this, you can do this. And mercifully, I was out front holding the door for both of them because I don't know how they'd have made it in otherwise. So I'm watching like this and I said, welcome to the Red Barn. Oh, you're welcome, she said. I love older people. I have such an affinity for people that just maybe need a little help because I know what that's like. My mother was like that. So they sat down and one was all dolled up. And I said, what's your name? And she looks at me and she pulls her purse a little closer because she doesn't know what I'm up to, which is hysterical. She said, my name is Irene. And I said, well, welcome to the Red Barn, Irene. Why don't you let me, can I help you with the menu? I can help you because she's new. All dolled up, though. She is gussied up. So she puts her walker over here, sits down. I wait on her, get her straw ready for her, get her little small chocolate milk open. Those are hard to open sometimes, you know. And her friend Inez is sitting there. Inez doesn't know me either. So I wait on them. I get them their own special meal. They're sized. Kids' meal, sized right down. You don't want to take everything. You don't want to spend $30. You want to spend $5. So I got the last whoopie pie. I snagged it, and I put it in my thing. I only had one left. And I knew she was dolled up for a reason. I wanted to know why. And I said, why are you dolled up, Irene? She says, it's my birthday. I'm from Madomic Valley. Now, I don't know where that is, but this lady had to get up with help, get dressed, get in a car, get here to have a fish fillet that I cut, and go back home. So this fish fillet on her birthday, this fish fillet is a six-hour endeavor. See, we eat in the car. We just grab something, shove it down, you know. That's a big deal to her. So I said, would you like me to sit with you? And she says, I would love that. So we talked for an hour, middle of the afternoon. We talked for an hour. And they got up because the son was coming to pick them up from the Sam's Club, right? So Inez and I start talking. Irene gets up, puts her outer jacket on over two other jackets, which you and I both know how difficult that can be. She puts one arm in, then the other, looks down and takes her hands that are twisted with arthritis and zips up that zipper in under a second. So I'm looking at her. I said, I don't know how she did that. I'm thinking to myself. Inez and I go like this. She turns around with both hands in her pockets and she marches. And I mean marches. Marches. 15 paces, I counted. And she stood and she turned around, twisted, pivoted on her foot and said, you coming? And I said, don't move. I mean, I think you need this, right? And I pulled her walker, or her walker. And remember, you got this coming in. Just stay right there, okay, Irene? Stay right there. And she said, oh, I guess I do need that. She forgot for 15 paces that she didn't need help walking. So I got right to her with that walker. Don't you think I didn't? We got her into the car and I belted her in. I said, how old are you anyway? I know it's your birthday, but how old are you? She said, right now I feel 70, but I'm really 90. They wave and they keep waving till you're out of sight. But little does she know, I do hope I see her again. Little does she know, she saved my life. Little does she know that that person I was for that hour was the best me I've ever been. It's the best Laura I've ever been. And I was so proud of myself because I can do it. And she brought that out in me. I want to be that person every day, that person that my younger self would take advice from. And I was that person. I was never more comfortable in my own skin. I was never more proud of who I was. She brought that out in me. I'm sure she's thinking, wow, I'd love to see her again. She made me feel younger. And she doesn't know that I'm thinking that because I have issues with alcohol. And there's no drink on earth that can make you feel that good. I can live because of her. And I won't be saddled with the other. And I find that to be the essence of giving, is when each of you thinks you're doing something for the other when they're really doing it for each one. And that's the difference. And then both of you together makes it 100%. On Facebook, I said, does anybody have somebody that can't get to me? Can I go to them? I put it on Facebook and I paid to promote it. So hundreds of thousands of people saw it. I will deliver. If you've got somebody who's a shut-in or somebody who can't get to me, I'll go to them. I put that out on Facebook. Peter said, my brother, what the hell are you doing? Well, I had 50 or 60 responses, one from limestone in particular. Limestone, ain't that the highest you can get in Maine? Isn't it? She's my mother, May, is at the inn at City Hall. Could you bring her a seafood stew? Absolutely. So I go down, bang, bang, bang. She hangs up on me. I wait for the dial tone. It was kind of an ordeal in the little cubicle, right? Finally, she hangs her phone back up so I can call so she can let me in again. So I get up there, and she's got one eye, and she has one leg, and she's in a wheelchair, and she hasn't been out of that room in 6 months. It's one room, maybe a little bigger. And I said, listen, I brought you something. And then this you can put right in the freezer, so you'll have it. It just takes an hour to thaw. Put it right on the counter. So anyway, I laughed about it, gave her a big hug, and I left. That's what you do. This lady can't get from Limestone, 4 hours and a half north, to do that. It's right on my way home. It's simple. I mean, except for the elevator part, you know. So that's it. So I take the elevator down, I walk out, the sun's shining, leaves are crisp. It's really that simple. You just pay attention to people, and they'll come back. And I find it sad that that's something that very few people do, and they just don't understand that that's the secret. The secret is just be open and inviting and listen to their stories. There's not one person I know that doesn't have a story. Like, it doesn't just end with you finish the chicken basket and the fries. It begins the story. There's a story because you had to take a this had to be something you intended to do. Tell me why that is. Why are you all the way from, some of these people, the engineers were from New York, were from, granted, we were no close to the hospital, but they could have gone the other way. There were 5 other eateries there. I just did what I just did out of absolute desperation. It was the last sort of Hail Mary pass, and I thought something's got to give, something's got to change. Being a business to make money didn't work for me. That was the worst thing I could have thought, and that's the only thing I thought people did think. Until I decided, I'm just not going to worry about that right now. Let me just get rid of this food that was given to me that I shouldn't have gotten, and that's what started these fundraisers. It was by no means something I intended to do, but once it did say, oh my goodness, that I could just see those little boys. They're only sixth grade? They're only 11, 12. They didn't get there. They had their parents drive them, right? They all had the same shirt, and they were mopping, and they were so happy. I said, I love these kids. They're awesome. This is amazing. I went out, and I took my picture with them. This is too good. This feels too good. All of these kids and all of the parents and my being finally out of my own head and living with that and seeing that and feeling that, because that's what I love. I love feeling that when everybody pulls together, because it's not done a lot. And when you can help that happen and be in the midst of it, which I was that night from 4 to 6, and they helped me clean, and they were the last ones to leave, and the parents were happy, and the kids were laughing, and their whole trip was paid for, busing and everything, gas. That's what the parents told me. I said, that is unbelievable. I watched them all pull away, and I went, how did that just happen? And, you know, that was 5 years ago. Feels like a lot longer. 5 years ago. And I feel the same way when I jump into my vehicle, and just between you and me and the rest of the state of Maine, I go, how did that just happen? How on earth did that just happen? Because you can't make that happen. That has to happen on its own. People have to want to come together. And people have to share. People have to do their part to make that happen. So that meant everybody was doing what they needed to do to make that happen. It wasn't just Laura's giving food away.